All right. Well, good morning, all of you. I'm so glad that you guys are here. I'm a little hot. They're going to fix that. I'm not hot like I'm good looking hot, but like I mean the microphone. Sorry. Some of you are like, this guy. Well, anyway, glad that you're here and joining us today. Man, I'm just excited to be in God's house, in God's presence, worshiping the Lord among like-minded people. We are wrapping up our series today that we've been in, looking for a sign. And I'm excited to share today with you because it's kind of something that God's been laying on my heart. I mentioned last week how we were talking through, you know, patience, and God kind of impressed on me this this need to pray for more patience in my life and the varying things that I'm going through and dealing with people. And so I've been doing that, but as he showed me that in my life, he also began to reveal to me that he wanted me to also remind us of his patience toward us. Just the amount of patience that God has for us as his children, and the amount of patience that he has for those who have not yet come to know him, and how we as Jesus followers are meant to take the patience and the grace and the kindness and the love and the forgiveness that God has shown to us, and then kind of let that come out of us towards others in many different ways. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, you know, as we wrap up this series, just the amount of patience that God has for us, a reminder of it, and then how that's going to overflow. I want to share with you from 2 Peter. This is kind of the driving force behind today's message, and I think it's a powerful one as we close this out. So I want to read it to you. 2 Peter 3, we're going to do verses 8 and 9, and then 14 and 15. And it says this: "Dear friends, do not let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." In verse 14, it says, "Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found at peace with him without spot or blemish. Also, regard the patience of our Lord as an opportunity for salvation." And so this is powerful, right? This verse builds upon what I've been talking about this entire series, like this opening line. The Lord's timing is not our timing. How he measures a day is not how we measure a day. How he works things out, how things come to fruition, it's all in his time. It's much different. And I think, you know, probably throughout our lives, there have been moments when we've become impatient with God, right? When we've gone to him and we've asked the Lord for something, and our prayer goes unanswered. It was that job that we had prayed for, we didn't get. It was the relationship that we were excited about that never took place. It was a financial breakthrough. It was a prayer to begin a family. Or even as we're talking about today, it was a prayer for salvation of someone that we know and love. And we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And then, of course, you know, we get to this serious topic, right? Jesus said he was coming back. When's that going to take place, right? Like we would love for that to take place, because we look around as Jesus followers. We look around in the world around us, in our culture, and what do we see? We see wickedness, we see corruption, we see depravity, and we're kind of like getting impatient. We're like, all right, Lord, it's time. Like, look around, Lord, it's getting pretty bad. It's time for you to come. But verse 9 reveals the desires of God and the purpose in the waiting. Here's what it says. 1 Peter 3:9, "But God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Now, if you've been here with us throughout the entire series, in week one, I share just the amount of people, 3.4 billion people that we know of that have never heard about Jesus and salvation through him. And when we see this in verse 9, that the Lord desires that all would come to saving knowledge in Jesus. Now, the weight and sin of the weight of sin, it brings this burden, this heaviness, and we kind of just we go through this life feeling that weight in our lives and in the lives of others and how it's affecting people. And then the weight of sin, of course, like I talked about, it brings persecution to us as Christians who are following Jesus. And, you know, the longer that we wait, the longer that we endure these things, the more impatient I believe that we get. You know, in Romans 8, 22, Paul, he talks about how all of creation groans. And I think we can kind of sense that. And we just look around and there's this groaning throughout the world and throughout creation for his return. And Paul goes on to say, it's not just all of creation. Like we as Jesus followers, we're groaning and we're eagerly waiting for him to come back and to bring us into eternal life with him. And at the end of Romans 8, verse 25, it says we're called to do that with patience. And so as we endure and as we live set apart, as we continue to experience the pain of sin in our lives and in the lives around us, 2 Peter 3:15 says, regard the patience of the Lord as an opportunity for salvation. And I think this is so powerful. We think about the times and ways that we wait and the things that we're waiting for and why aren't they happening yet? And God's going, just be patient. Because salvation is coming. Salvation for your loved ones. Salvation for whatever's taking place. Salvation is coming. I'm being patient for that. And that's this driving force behind this whole thing. And as Jesus followers, it is our calling and our purpose. Not to share predictions or speculations about when the Lord will return, but regarding God's patience to share the signs of salvation that have been fulfilled through Jesus. We groan and we hurt and we experience pain, but we have hope in Jesus and we have salvation, but many do not. You know, as I was considering just the amount of patience that God has with his creation, I was drawn to Exodus 34. And Exodus 34 kind of displays and outlines these characteristics of God. And you'll see this verse repeated and referenced throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. So Exodus 34, 6 through 7, it says, Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, and he's rich in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving wrongdoing, rebellion, and sin. And I think this is a powerful thing to know about God, because sometimes we can get caught up in thinking certain things about God. But what this is saying to us is that this is who God is. Not who he once was or who maybe one day he will be. This is who God is. God is compassionate. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. God is rich in faithful love. God forgives rebellion and sin from the time of Adam to today until the day that Jesus returns. And so for us, here's what we need to continually remind ourselves, right? Every day in our lives leading up to this one, in our disobedience, in our waywardness, in our sin, God has been patient with us. And guess what? He'll continue to be patient with us every day after this day. I mean, you can go back through your life, right? Go back and just, you know, trudge up some of the things in the past, the ways in which God has been patient with you in your seasons of disobedience or rebellion, when you began to showcase pride and stubbornness, patience with you as you pursued the worship of other gods, of false idols, whether it be money or material things or relationships or some form of addiction in your life. You go back through and you look and you go, man, God was patient with me every step of the way. And God's shown us grace, and he's shown us compassion, and he's shown us mercy and forgiveness again and again and again. And I think that, you know, the longer that we experience that and become accustomed to that, I think there are moments and times we come in danger of taking that for granted. You see, because God's unending forgiveness sometimes causes us to forget his unwavering patience for us. And because we tend to forget that, we forget to extend the same to others. A guy by the name of Paul David Tripp, in his book New Morning Mercy, says this: impatience is born out of forgetfulness. When we forget how tenderly God deals with us, we then become harsh with others. So I'll say this, the best way to remember God's patience for us is to continually extend that same patience to others. And so the question becomes, are we doing that? Are we extending the same patience to others that God has shown us? Are we patient with our spouse? Are we patient with our children? Whether they are toddlers, preteens, teens, young adults, or even grown adults? Are we patient? Are we patient with our in-laws? Are we patient with our coworkers? Are we patient with our classmates? Are we patient with our siblings? Are we patient with the people driving around us? Are we patient with the people in line in front of us? And you really just begin to ask this. You know, the reality of it is that being patient is difficult when we're always hurried, busy, and hustling. Because in our hurried pace, many of us, we just become less patient with others. And in our hurriedness, we often deal with others in unkind, unloving, un-Christ-like ways. I mean, just imagine if God dealt with us, spoke with us, reacted to us the way that we treat others. Let's take it a little bit further. Just imagine if God treated us the way that we deserve. There's this powerful verse in Psalm 103, verse 8 and 10, and it again reiterates Exodus 34 about God's characteristics. It goes on to say, the Lord is compassionate, and he's gracious, and he's slow to anger, and he's rich in faithful love. It's like a direct quote of that, and it goes on, ready? He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our offenses. I really let that sink in, because that is just such a powerful passage. Because when we look at how God treats us, right? Patience, forgiveness, kindness, compassion, and then we take what he has shown us and given to us time and time and time again, and then we compare it to how we treat others, because they get on our nerves, we realize that we often forget to extend the same grace that we have received. We treat others how we feel they deserve to be treated, because they offended us, or they broke our trust, or they spoke out against us, or they cut us off, or they just failed to meet our expectations. Here's what I'll say to you. If God doesn't treat us the way that our sins deserve, then we shouldn't treat others that way. All right? It's this thing where we extend the grace, the love, the compassion, the patience, the kindness that has been shown to us to others. I think I mentioned it last week. Sometimes we just forget what God rescued and saved us from. And it leads us to being people who are judgmental, short, mean, or even hateful Now, here's what I believe. One of the main reasons that God is able to extend this just unending amount of patience to us is because he has a deep awareness of who we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we've been through. He understands our deepest thoughts. He feels what we feel. And at the end of it, he knows what we need. You see, God desires for us to be in relationship with him. And he knows that in relationship with him, we will be able to live the life that he has called us to. And his innate ability to empathize with us produces, right, love, compassion, forgiveness, grace, and patience that are required to develop and strengthen a relationship and also protect it. And so I've been kind of just sharing with you how God has impressed upon me that, you know, I need to continue to pray for patience in my life and patience in certain situations. And I think there's this form of empathy and showing empathy and empathizing with others. And one of the things I've come to realize is that if I want to be able to better empathize with people, then that means I need to be someone who asks more questions and better questions, and I'm not good at that. Anyone else with me willing to say, I'm not really good at asking questions? Yeah, but it's a huge part of it. And so, like, you'll enter into a conversation, and I think for the most part, because of our somewhat selfish nature, we tend to just kind of focus on ourselves. People will ask us, and we'll be like, yeah, let me tell you all about what's going on. And then we forget to ask the other person what's going on in their life. Now, this points to other flaws in my character, but we're going to talk about those today. And so I've been aware of this in my life, and I've been working on this in my life, so much so that years ago I got a tattoo. I didn't plan, I was going to show you if you didn't know, but I have a tattoo on my right arm, and it's just a tattoo of a word. It says orthopathos. And what orthopathos means to me is it's a constant reminder for me to feel the feelings of Jesus. Feel for others the way that Jesus feels for others. Now, let me just show you, because there's three different orthos. There's orthodoxy, orthopraxis, orthopathos. So there's thinking like Jesus, there's acting like Jesus, and then there's feeling the way that Jesus feels. I've gotten really good at these two, thinking and acting. It's that third one that's always been a struggle for me. And so I came to this place where I got, this is going to be something that I'm going to have to continue to work on and strive. I want a reminder of all these things. And so this idea of feeling the feelings of Jesus towards others, guess what it's helped me to do? Become more like Jesus to others. To understand them. And in the midst of things that are going on, as I can continually just think about what Jesus would say, what Jesus would do, how Jesus would approach this, it helps me be more calm. It helps me be more patient. It helps me be more loving. See, oftentimes we lack patience when we fail to understand or feel what others are going through. And in our impatience, there's this failure of compassion. So here's what I'll say. If you are struggling with this and you want to increase your level of patience in all circumstances and all relationships, then your level of empathy also needs to increase. Because at the end of the day, everybody's dealing with something. They're feeling some type of way. They have this baggage or burden that they've been carrying for a long time. And some days, with all of that in line, some days there's something that takes place where they are triggered, where they are set off. It may just be a lack of sleep, or they may just be hangry, right? And you want to hand them a Snickers. And sometimes you know, but we've just got to take the time to understand what they're dealing with, what they're going through, what they're feeling, so that we can respond to them in a godly way. Instead of just popping off on someone or judging them before knowing anything about them, we need to begin to empathize with them. Feel for them the way that Jesus does. And so, you know, you can process this in just your everyday relationships, but then really begin to think about the salvation of others and how empathy plays such a vital role, because Here's the deal. Empathy helps us see past their sin, see past their negative and toxic behaviors to the issues in their life. And we don't just react based off of their actions or toward their outward display. We take a moment to consider how they may be feeling and why they may be feeling that way. M.H. Davis, in a book titled Empathy, A Social Psychological Approach, says this: the more we understand another's distress, the more patient and compassionate we become. It's just understanding. There's this insight. Actually, Proverbs 19:11 says this: a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. This is just a powerful reminder. Like, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Our patience will increase when we understand people around us, what they're going through, what they've endured, what they are working toward. And again, it applies in every relationship, in your marriage, with your children, with your extended family, your coworkers, and yes, even strangers. But just think about how empathy comes into play when the topic of salvation and faith come up. Like, if you know somebody who's not yet know Jesus, do you know what they know about Jesus? Or what they've heard about Jesus, or what they've learned about Jesus? Do you know what they believe about the Bible and about God? Do you know what they've experienced in church or religion? All these variables matter, and they must be taken into consideration. Again, in 1 Peter 3:3, he says, in 1 Peter 3:3, if you go up just a little bit, I didn't share this with you. It says, in the end times, they're going to be scoffers, right? Because we're talking about end times, it's an end times thing. 1 Peter 3 has this whole end times theme. And in the end times, they're going to be scoffers. They're going to be people that are doubters. They're going to be people that are haters. They're going to be people that, there are going to be some people that are just, that are ignorant. And so what this means is that there will be people who simply don't have knowledge of Jesus, or people who have been misinformed about Jesus. And because of those two things, they're acting a certain way, and they'll come against your faith, and they'll scoff against your faith and your beliefs. And the reason why is, so we live in this age of information, right? And most people, when it comes to faith, when it comes to salvation, they are operating within the limits of their algorithm-fed worldview. They don't have the truth. What they have is curated content that's going to feed their already biased beliefs and the lies that they have been fed throughout their life. And so that's why we must be patient. Not getting angry at not yet caught up in living like the culture, not being surprised by the sin that they are living in. Listen, if someone doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know the Bible, doesn't have a foundation of faith, then why do we expect them to live like they do? And why do we get angry or judge them because they do? Man, we shouldn't be getting mad or frustrated with people who don't know Jesus yet. We should be praying for them. We should be praying for opportunities to get to understand them, to know them, to come alongside them, to love them, to extend grace, compassion, and mercy, and patience, just like God has done for us. But that's a lot harder than it is to ignore them, or avoid them, or even worse, talk about them behind their backs. The call of a Jesus follower is not to push away from the world and hope that it gets healed. It's to have the hope within us and enter into the world and spread the hope that we have found. And so we've got to enter into it with grace, love, and compassion, understanding that these people may not know Jesus yet. You know, I was thinking about this in Jesus' life, and I've probably mentioned this before in this series or before in any series, but who did Jesus get angry and frustrated with the most? The religious religious leaders. It wasn't the lost. Not the broken, not those wrapped up in living like the world or caught up in what culture was doing. He continually challenged and came against the religious leaders' lifestyle of hypocrisy because they had this truth that they had been given and they had put themselves up on this pedestal going, we are here and no one else is good enough to get here. And that's not the gospel message. When it came to the lost, you know what he did? He brought compassion. He brought truth. He brought healing. And he forgave their sin and rebellion. And it reminds us of the characteristics of God that we are shown in Exodus 34. And so we as a church, we must be mindful of our actions and our attitudes towards those who do not yet know Jesus. Because Jesus followers, we're not called to condemn not yet. We're called to show them the patience and compassion that God has shown us. And it's the Lord's that is going to be the one who brings judgment and condemnation. So earlier I gave you Exodus 34. I said 6 and 7, but I didn't give you all of 7. Let me read to you the rest of 7. So we go through all these things. He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's loving, he's forgiving of sin and rebellion. Then it goes on, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's wrongdoing on the children and the grandchildren to the fourth and third and fourth generation. And so we see that this is also a reality, that there will be a final judgment. God's patience is long-suffering, but there is also a threshold, because God is both merciful and just. And so forgiveness will always be offered, but unrepentant sin will always have consequences. Jump over to Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. Again, kind of a repetition of Exodus 34. It says, the Lord is slow to anger, but he's great in power, and the Lord will never leave the guilty unpunished. And we see this throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, where there are times when the God's people are disobedient, they rebel, they worship false idols, and he gives them over to their sins and desires. He turns his back on them. He regrets. We talked about Noah. He regrets ever making them. And he sends plagues and he sends foreign rulers to defeat them and put them into exile. Now, it's part of the story, but then we get to the New Testament. What does he do? He sends a redeemer, Jesus, the Messiah, who came to die for sin once and for all. And then after that, he began to speak of his second coming. And with the second coming, there will be judgment. And so, you know, with that truth in mind, we do have this urgency, right? To go and share about salvation in Jesus so that when the final judgment comes, many will come into relationship with God and enter into eternity with him. But here's the thing. While there is an urgency, that doesn't mean that we become forceful or hurried or brash or overbearing with the message of hope that we have found in Jesus. Now, I was thinking, like, you can't force someone into a relationship with God. Forced obedience or obligatory obedience will never lead to transformation. I think sometimes as parents, we get caught up in doing that. And we force them into it. We make them feel obligated into it. And they enter into it for a time because we made them. And then the moment that they can get out of our grasp, they walk away from it. Because instead of being patient with them and loving and kind and understanding through all their sin, through all the rebellion, we just wanted them to act a certain way because we wanted faith for them more than they wanted to have it for themselves. God is the one who will do the transformation. You can't force it. Patience seeks obedience to the Lord, but it doesn't force it. I mean, I just think about it. How many of you have desired so deeply for someone you know and love, whether it's a parent, a sibling, a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse, a child, to like come and know Jesus by surrendering their life? Anyone like have desired that in your life? If you have known somebody in your life, you're like, I've wanted them to come to Jesus for the longest time. And in this seasons of waiting, you know, you've helped them, you've shared with them, you've shared your testimony with them, you've shown them love and grace and compassion, but they continue to push away and you just want to walk up to them and grab them and shake them and say, give your life to Jesus. Come on, anybody else? I know. And you're just like, what? You see. And we, you know, because we have this hope and we have the answer and we know how much better life is with Jesus. Not that we're gonna not experience the pain and the effects and the consequences of sin, but because we have the hope in Jesus, it's better. And we have that knowledge. And so we get impatient, we get so frustrated, we get so fed up, and we get to this place where we begin to lose hope. But then we go back and we look, right, at 2 Peter 3, and we thank God that today is still a day that Jesus hasn't returned, because the Lord is patient, desiring that all would come to repentance and salvation in him, including your friend, including your parent, including your child. So in one sense, we yearn for Jesus to come back, but in another sense, we're thankful that he hasn't, because we desire what God desires, and that is for our loved ones to come and know him. You know, last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and in Galatians 5, it starts with love and joy and peace. You know what the fourth one is? Patience. I think there's something powerful about that. That love, joy, and peace are going to produce patience. And so I think that comes to you now in your life. Are you loving? Are you joyful? Do you have peace? And if you're lacking in one of these areas, begin to ask why. And then also begin to see why maybe you've been reacting and responding the way that you have. Because I believe your ability to be patient flows from these three qualities: love, joy, and peace. And they come from only one source, and that is God. And so if you're lacking in one of these areas, man, and you want to fill up on love, joy, and peace, and then there are some, like, I talk about these all the time, and it's like pretty basic and it's pretty generic, but at the end of the day, this is how we fill up. Four different ways. You're lacking in these things? Have a conversation with God. Spend time with him in prayer. If you're lacking in one of these things, offer praise to God through worship. No matter what season, no matter what you're going through, praise him and give him glory. If you're lacking love, joy, and peace, begin to gain more knowledge about who God is and how much he loves you through his word. And fourth, and most important, man, if you're lacking in these things, spend time with God's people through the church. Many people have begun to push away from the church, thinking it's going to be what's best for them and help them, you know, get a better semblance of unhurried life and not being caught up. But it's those very people that are going to come alongside you and through God bring you love, bring you joy, bring you peace. It's through prayer, it's through worship, it's through the word, it's through the church that we receive love, joy, and peace in our lives. And as we receive these things, they should flow out of us, and then patience will follow. Guys, in a world that is constantly bickering and constantly divided and constantly against one another, Jesus' followers must be the ones that come along and show love, joy, peace, and patience to everyone, just like it was shown to us. I'm gonna ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just wanna ask, Just a simple question. Who in your life do you need to pray about and work at extending more patience to? And maybe on the tail end of that, I could say, who do you need to go to and ask forgiveness? Because due to some things that have been going on in your life, where you've been lacking joy and love and peace, you have not been as patient as you would like to be. You said something you regret, you did something you regret. God, right now, we first we come before you and say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the unwavering patience that you have extended to us in our rebellion and in our sin. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the forgiveness that you've shown us time and time again. God, while we are redeemed and brought into resurrection life through your Son, I think sometimes we forget just how much you love us, forgive us, and are patient with us. So thank you for that reminder today. God, right now we pray. We pray that you would give us just extra patience, the Holy Spirit patience towards others in our everyday life with our spouse, with our children, with our coworkers, in whatever scenario. And then also as we think about salvation for others, that you would give us patience with the not yets in our lives. God, today we come to you again, praying for the salvation of someone that we love, who is hurting, who is broken, who is lost. God, we come before you desperately asking you to bring someone into their life, if it's not us, someone into their life that will show them the love and the grace and the compassion and the forgiveness that they need. God, I pray that throughout our weeks, throughout our days, you would help us be more aware of our need for empathy. Lead us to ask more questions about what others are going through. God, and show us and give us opportunities to share the love and grace and patience that you have shown us with them. God, we know this world needs you, and we need to be a people that is going out and showing who you are, what you've done for us, and what you can do for others. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.